It's always a good thing to prayerfully approach the Word of God. And today, in particular, with the topic that we're dealing with, I want us to pray and again posture ourselves to receive from the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with grateful hearts for the opportunity that we have to gather together and to hear from you. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present among us to fill this place with your peace and unity. Lord, we acknowledge that conflicts are a part of life, but we trust in your wisdom to help us navigate through them. We pray for unity in our hearts and minds. We pray that we would be bound together in your perfect love. And let your peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help us to set aside any distractions, any worries, anything that's going to keep us from hearing what you have to say to us today. And let us open our hearts and our minds to receive from you today. Let the word penetrate deeply into our hearts and transform us to be more like Christ. Teach us. Mold us by your scriptures and grant us the wisdom to approach the conflicts that we have in our life with humility, patience, and love. Thank you for the work that you continue to do in each of us. And we pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we begin this series in dealing with conflict, it's important to acknowledge something right off the start. Conflicts are unavoidable. They're inevitable. And this series that we're going to look at, it is focused in on personal conflicts. Because if we can't get conflicts in our life right, the disagreements that we have with the people in our lives, then we cannot even tackle the local, regional, or international conflicts that we are faced with. And in fact, something new is happening. We're actually fighting over other people's conflicts. You notice that? Somebody else has a disagreement. Somebody else has a conflict. Something is happening in a part of the world, and then we start to talk to one another. We have a disagreement, and now we're in conflict. And so what do we do? In any relationship, be it family, friendships, work, or even within the church, conflicts will arise. And the Bible doesn't shy away from them. Instead, it provides us with insight. It provides us with wisdom of how to navigate these challenging situations. Let's talk about a couple of facts of conflict. Fact number one is conflict is natural. It'll occur in every type of relationship. Every type of community has conflict. Number two, conflicts are neutral. They are neither inherently good or bad, but it's how we handle them that makes a difference. And number three, conflicts are opportunities. They offer us opportunity for growth, deeper communication, and greater understanding. It's really important for us to understand that conflict is a natural part of human interaction. It helps us to approach conflict with a healthier mindset. We see that it's not a destructive force, but it's an opportunity for personal and relational growth. And when we approach conflicts biblically, it can lead to a stronger, more resilient relationship between us and the person that we were initially at conflict with. I want you to think back to the early church. Conflict is something that showed up in the body of Christ right at the beginning. You think about the conflict and the disagreements that happened between Paul and Barnabas. You see that there was groups of people that had all sorts of conflict. You saw the widows that were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food, and there was a conflict, and then it created the deacons, which may, over the church years, may have created more conflict. No, we like our deacons. But it was God's idea, and this all came through conflict. And yet these conflicts, the church was able to clarify its beliefs, strengthen its unity, and expand its mission. Approaching conflict biblically means that we aim to reflect Christ in our responses. And it involves humility, patience, a willingness to listen, and to understand where other people are coming from. And while we can't control the actions of others, we can control our own responses, and we can continue to strive for peace. Conflicts offer us an opportunity to practice important Christian virtues, such as forgiveness, love, and patience. They push us to communicate more clearly and honestly with one another. They challenge us to grow in our faith as we rely on God's wisdom and strength. So let's keep in mind that conflicts, though challenging, give us opportunities for growth and deeper relationship. And when we handle them in ways that honor God, we reflect Christ's love and grace to those around us. And so now I want to take a look at a biblical foundation to dealing with conflict. And we're going to read from the scriptures, and I'll tell you, we're going to go through a number of different bullet points. I'm going to give you some thoughts to think about. This is the type of message that you should take and just absorb everything that's being said and just look at how it applies to us. But the most important thing that I'm going to do today is I'm going to read the scripture. And I want this scripture to speak to you. In fact, could we stand as we read this together? And I want you to not only hear this scripture right now, but I want you to take this particular scripture. We're going to be in Romans 12. And I want you to meditate on this throughout this month. We actually have a part two to this message that's coming up later in the month. But one of the things that you can do is take this passage and start focusing on what the Lord is speaking to you from this passage. We're going to start reading from verse 9. This is what it says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. It's talking here, we should be in competition with one another to see who can honor each other more. Verse 11, do not lack diligence in zeal, be fervent in the spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. Oh, that we would become a people at Stone Church that are known for our persistence in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. Our key verse, verse 18. As possible, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Some of you want to do that just because you want those fiery coals on their head. No, let's be honest. But the last verse is for all of us. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. May the Lord make his word come alive in us today. You can be seated, friends. There's so much in this passage, and I want to encourage you, if you could memorize that from verse 9 to the end, and you start putting it, whether it's this month or you look at this for the rest of the year, I'm telling you, your life will be transformed. Your life will be transformed. It will be different to be around you, and the lives of people around you will change as well. I want to look at a little bit more in depth on our key verse, verse 18. It says this again, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And this verse provides us with insights as to how we can approach conflict within the body of Christ and with interactions with people who may not be a part of the faith. The first thing is this, if possible. Paul begins with the phrase, if possible, acknowledging that achieving peace is not entirely within our control. There are situations where, despite our best efforts, peace will remain elusive. And this realistic perspective frees us from the burden of feeling like failures when peace isn't achieved. As long as we've done our best, as long as we've done our part in seeking it. B, another point here is, as far as it depends on you. The next part of this verse emphasizes our individual responsibility in pursuing peace. While we cannot control the actions or the responses of others, we can control our own. And that means actively seeking reconciliation, extending forgiveness, striving to resolve conflicts in a way that reflects Christ's love. Our focus should be on what can we do to promote peace, not on how others are failing to meet us halfway. In fact, I do not even like that terminology, meeting halfway. When I'm meeting with young people or anybody who's preparing to get ready for marriage, I'll often ask them, how responsible are they to maintaining or creating peace in their marriage? And some couples will say, well, 50-50. Others will thoughtfully assert 100%, right? I need to give it my all. And then usually I tell them, I said, usually, guys, it requires 110% or more. That's what's needed, right? And yes, marriage requires max effort, but so does the rest of our lives. Our family, our friends, our coworkers, and our neighbors all require our best. And yet, when we are hurt, when we are upset, when we are disappointed, when we feel slighted or offended, it is hard even to muster up 50% effort. Come on, let's be honest, folks. It's hard. We will look for a way to avoid our personal responsibility to make peace. And yet, we are commended to live at peace with everyone. And Paul's call to live at peace isn't just limited to people and interactions with people in the church or those that we find agreeable. It extends to all people, including those who may be difficult. And of course, the big words when you're up here sometimes are hard to say. Those who are against, those who are holding different beliefs or even against you. And the universal challenge in the application is to us, for everyone who is a part of the body of Christ. No one is above this challenge. You're not above this challenge. I'm not above this challenge. We need to all be willing to do something that is actually impossible in our strength. We cannot do this in our own strength, but the Spirit of God will allow us to do this. We are called to live at peace with everyone. That should be our goal. That should be the target. But how do we do it? Well, there's some ways that we as a believer will approach that will help us do that. The first approach that we need to bring to conflicts and where there's disagreement is humility. Humility. We read in Philippians 2:4, we're instructed to do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than ourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. Humility means valuing others, being willing to listen to them, even in the midst of disagreement. If we're driven by a desire to win, if we're driven by a desire to be right in every situation, this can often escalate conflicts instead of resolve them. The next thing we need is love. Again, Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this love extends to people who we are in conflict with, guiding us to act in kindness and compassion. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, reminds us that love is patient, that it's kind, and it keeps no records of wrong. And yet, how many of us have a long record of the people who've wronged us, right? Maybe you write it in Dear Diary, or maybe you just keep it up here. We've got a long list. But approaching conflict with the mindset of love and not keeping records of wrong transforms our interactions and it opens the door to genuine reconciliation. Without this foundation of love, conflict can become a battle of ego and pride, where the goal is to defeat the other person rather than understand and resolve the issue. And finally, we need patience. I was performing a wedding ceremony last weekend, and this verse in James is one of the best verses. If you can do this, we can accomplish a lot of things. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to and slow to be angry, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is so important. If we just did this stuff, if we just gave things some time and we were quick to listen instead of giving our input. And this gives space for emotions to settle and God's wisdom to guide our words and our actions. See, some of us want to resolve a conflict right away, or we want to get some retribution right away, and we rush right in. But oftentimes, this haste can make things even worse. It can lead to further misunderstandings and deeper wounds. But Romans 12:18 calls us to a proactive, humble, loving, patient approach to conflict. Where do these conflicts come from? I want to read two more scriptures, and then I want to leave you with some practical things that can help us as we are walking through every day so we don't find ourselves into these crippling conflicts. Again, conflicts are going to happen, but dealing with them properly and not allowing them to become all right, all out wars is really something that we need to be mindful of. James 3:16 says this. It says, "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice." James 4 says this, "What is the source of wars and fighting among you? Do they not come when your passions wage war within you?" Means the things inside of you, the thoughts inside of you actually start bubbling out in the surface. You know, I really deserve that promotion. They didn't. Where's my promotion? Where's my promotion? Oh, so-and-so just got married. When am I going to get married? I deserve to get married. Or whatever it may be, a job, education, whatever it may be. But what does it say in verse 2? "You desire and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You have not because you do not ask." And then verse 3, "You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures." There are three root causes of conflict that are talked about in this section of James. Let's take a quick look at them. The first is selfish desires. This is one of the primary sources of conflict. Our internal desires are often at clash with other people's internal desires, and then they lead to disputes. And in our daily lives, this manifests in a number of different ways in our families, in our workplaces, in our church. Whenever people are prioritizing their own desire over the collective good, the good of others around you, usually tension and strife follow. And conflicts often arise by these unmet personal expectations and desires. Number two, lack of godly wisdom. It didn't refer to it in the verses that we read, but if you read in James 3:17, if you read the next verse after 16, this is what it says. It starts to contrast earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And it says this, "Wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without pretense." See, conflicts are heightened when we don't have this godly wisdom that leads to those things. When we operate out of worldly wisdom, marked by jealousy, selfishness, and pride, our interactions are tainted and discourse follows. This wisdom that comes from godly wisdom is going to give us the patience that we need. And it's going to allow us to prioritize the well-being of others. And then finally, number three, unmet desires and wrong motives. Again, you can read through there. It even talks that even when we start to ask, when we pray, we don't pray according to God's will or for Him to get glory. We pray for what we want for selfish reasons. And again, if even our prayers are skewed, how are we going to resolve issues with our brothers and sisters? There are some other causes of conflict. We don't have time to go into all of them, but there's communication breakdown. Sometimes communication is poor, and it relates again to the lack of godly wisdom in the way that we approach situations and communicate. And yet, we need to be aware of that. Also, different values and beliefs. And this didn't make our list, but also different personalities sometimes can create conflict. But by recognizing these root causes, these unmet or selfish desires, the lack of godly wisdom, and wrong motives, we can better address and understand and resolve conflicts in a way that honor God. And this calls for us to look within ourselves. Worship team, can you come up? I want to leave with you three ways to be more unoffendable or less offendable. Because a lot of times, what we discover is that conflicts start when somebody is offended. And I read a book called Unoffendable. Again, if you find yourself being easily offended and getting yourself into these situations, I would recommend that you grab that book. It's written by an author named Hansen. You can take a look at that. But I want to give you three reasons and three things to put into practice. And I want us to kind of take these away and say, hey, how can we implement these into our life? And then what we're going to look at in our part two of this series is, okay, I've done everything to try and have the right mindset and understand that conflicts happen. I did those things. I even tried to be unoffendable, but there still are those occasions where I am offended and we are at odds. How do I reconcile? How do I make it right? And we're going to look at the scriptures for that for part two. But this is your homework for this, for the next couple of weeks, because we're going to take a break next week for Father's Day. Is the first thing is that we need to let go of our right to be offended. We need to release anger for peace. Understand that being offended is a choice and that we need to process our anger and let it go. We need to emulate Jesus's response to sin and respond to sin in love, not shock or anger. Again, let love be the motivation there. Let go of our right. The second is to embrace radical humility. We talked about humility, but we need to acknowledge our own faults. We need to acknowledge that we sometimes do things that are misunderstood by other people, and therefore they may be doing, you know, not have wrong motives necessarily, but you may just be misinterpreting what they're doing. And so we need to have humility to say to ourselves, hey, we don't have it all together. We still do offend others. And so we should give them the benefit of the doubt. And then finally, prioritize love and patience. We want actions to be motivated by love. And Hansen, in his book, he actually argues that actions that are motivated by love rather than hate or anger are much more effective, even in issues related to justice and making a difference in the world. And that we would get to a place where we prioritize love and patience and act out of those things. Let me pray with you, and then we're going to have an opportunity to respond. We do have the notes available. We printed out some and left them at the Welcome Center. So if you didn't get all of the notes down and you want to look into this a little bit further and pray into this, there are notes at the Welcome Central. Also, you can email the office@stonechurch.ca, and we'll send you the notes as well. But would you stand with me as we're about to transition to a moment of reflection and worship? And my prayer for you today, again, going back to that original scripture, verse 18. Now, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Could we get to a place where we live at peace with everyone? So, Lord, we come to you today. We thank you so much, O God, for the richness of your word. Lord, even though there were lots of things that we looked at today, your word is the most important part of it. And I pray, oh God, that as we take the time to look through Romans 12 this week and in the weeks to come, Lord, that you would help us to apply elements of that scripture to the way that we live our lives. That, Lord, that we wouldn't be focused in on ourselves. We wouldn't be focused in on what is good for us at the detriment of everyone else. But, Lord, that we would truly approach things from others' perspective. Lord, I know there are people right now that they're locked in battles with friends, with colleagues, maybe even with their spouse, that peace doesn't reign in their relationships, that there's strife. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that Lord, you would help us, oh God, to put in the maximum effort, everything that we have, not only in our own strength, but by the strength of the Spirit of God at work in our lives, oh God, to bring about, oh God, reconciliation, to bring about understanding, that Lord, we would get to a place where we could disagree and still be friends, that we can disagree and still be associated with someone and not just remove them from our lives. Lord, we live in a society today, oh God, that is very divisive. It says, choose a side and stay there. But Lord, may we be as the people of God, Lord, motivated by different things, oh God, different priorities, oh God, that you would help us in all humility. Oh God, that you would help us, oh God, just manifest love and patience, oh God. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would turn relationships around, that you would establish, Lord, just your kingdom in our lives and in our community, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for what you're going to do. And Lord, we look forward, oh God, to how you're going to continue to speak to us about this important matter, oh God, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.